The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So the message for today is that Advent is a period of hope. Advent is all about hope. The prophet Baruch gives a very, very lovely message to the Israelites, and that resonates with us. He is encouraging the Israelites who were at the time enslaved and wandering in the desert. So the Israelites had been away from their homeland, kind of forced diaspora, for many years. And that first reading, the prophet announces joy and reminds them of their glorious destiny as children of the one true God. So the language that the prophet Baruch uses is highly exalted and at the same time emphatic. And he says to the people, "Take off your robe of mourning and misery. Put on the splendor of glory from God forever." And a little background of this garment of mourning might be helpful here. In the time of the ancient Israelites, those who mourn usually have a garment. There's a garment that is used to indicate that one is mourning. They will put on what is called the sackcloth. In fact, in my culture, this still happens to date. Anyone who is bereaved of the husband or the wife, for example, or of the dad or mom, would put on mostly black. Some use white. But the family would wear this garment for a whole year. It's like a mourning garment. And you notice that they wear this constantly. Some men, for their wives, would even wear their bears, and they wouldn't take the bears off for the whole year. They wouldn't shave. So usually at the culmination of the 1 year in my culture, there is what is called the outing mass. The outing mass is a mass which kind of is celebrated in memorial of the deceased. And at that mass, the family is marking the end of their mourning period. So after that mass, they put off the mourning garment and then go back to normal life. So this is the image that the prophet is presenting here this morning, which he speaks to the Israelites, "Take off your robe of mourning and misery and replace them. Replace it. Put on the splendor of the glory of God forever." So Jerusalem is returning. Here, Jerusalem is personified. So Jerusalem is presented as returning from the Babylonian captivity. And the prophet is telling them that the time of suffering is gone. You are going to enter into new life. It's a stepping into newness because of the Lord. So put on a new robe, the full splendor of God. And then he says, that is the splendor of glory and the cloak of justice. Put on the mitre or the turban. You know what the mitre is, right? The mitre is the cap that the bishop wears. Okay? And the origin of this mitre is that it is worn by the ancient high priest at the time. And on those mitres that the ancient high priest wore, there is an inscription that says, holiness to the Lord. So this is the new garment, the new decoration. It says, wear this garment and then put on the mitre or the turban. The turban is also a headdress that is worn mostly by the Muslim leaders. So, but the image here signifies royalty, that you belong to the priestly class. You have to do away with everything that reminds you of your old life, the life of exile, the life of captivity, and the life that made you feel like you were slaves. So Baruch's message is an invitation to change of attitude. John the Baptist appears in the gospel with great announcement. John's arrival on the scene is depicted by the gospel referencing political heavyweights. If you listened very well, you would have heard these big names: Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, Herod and his brother Philip, Lysanias, Annas, and Caiaphas. These are big names, images representing worldly powers, and the little John the Baptist who comes. John had no connection, humanly speaking. He wasn't connected. But John appears during the time when the political class was strong, so to say. And this political class was wielding power. So John brings a newness, the light of the world entering into the scene. The content of John's message is what? He says to them, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That's his message, simple message. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So John announces something great, the newness that these people are going to embrace. So the people would have quickly recognized John's words from the prophecy of Isaiah, as quoted in that passage. It says, as is written in the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness. So it is written. So this is not new to them, because the prophets in the Old Testament had already said it. So John is coming to reinforce this message, but to make them understand the nearness, to understand the imminence of this coming. So they knew what was going to happen. And the people knew that when a great king or ruler was entering, the slaves would go ahead of the king and make straight the path. So imagine the scene that is playing out here. The Lord was at the gates, and in other Gospels, for example, if you read John's Gospel chapter 1, verse 29, verse 36, John points to Jesus as he was passing and says, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. And the disciples would always follow Jesus, look to Jesus, join Jesus' team. So the people understood that the Lamb of God, signified in the temples as well, was coming. And John reminds them that the splendor of the glory of God is here. And that is the new garment. So John becomes a manifestation or an expression of putting off the old garment and wearing newness because of Christ. But is the devil quiet? The answer is no. The devil tried to use political leaders. That is what happens. He hasn't changed. He has not changed, unfortunately. So politics has been part of the world's issue from old. Using political leaders to bring about the physical death of this Messiah. So think about John the Baptist and then the great Tiberius Caesar, the Pontius Pilate, the Pharaohs. Think about the Herods, the Philips. You think about these people, and then you know how much the devil has used political powers, influences, political leadership to do his bidding. So John's message sets a tone for Advent for us and proclaims hope even in the midst of what might seem politically messed up in our world today. So how can we prepare for this great coming? The King of the universe is here. How do we make his path straight? My dear friends, the times we are living in today are difficult, but these times are glorious if we understand that the King of the universe is still in control. The times are hard. If you look all over, the times are hard because certain rulers still act like the Caesars, the Pilates of our time. And we can look around to perceive the activities of these rulers. The United States, in Europe, in Asia, in Latin America, in Africa, they are there. I was talking with my younger brother yesterday, and he was telling me and sharing how tough things are in Nigeria right at this moment. Inflation. And he said to me, "Father, you won't understand until you come back." That's what he said. He says, if you are holding 10,000 naira now, naira is the Nigerian currency. If you are holding 10,000 naira now, that it is like one naira. You go into the market, you just, whatever you can buy, you buy, and then you leave. You don't, your list, you barely get to half of your list, and you see that you have no money in your hand anymore. He says, people are no longer eating to diet. People are just eating to fill their stomach. So luxury is gone. He says, "Father, it's really hard, but people will not tell you." And I speak with people every day from Nigeria. And it's just the issue. It's political mess. That is politics. I'm using Nigeria, but Nigeria, because that is my background, right? But all of you know, even here in the United States, is to buy a car now is something. To buy a house now is something. So it's not easy. But the days can also be glorious. And the culture of death is about the destruction of life, the stifling of liberty, and the pursuit of power. So we see rulers who want to enthrone one world order or religion that is devoid of Jesus Christ. And like in the days of John the Baptist, a small number of the elitists hold great power. That is what Pontius Pilate, Caesar, Tiberius Caesar, that is what they did. They hold the power. So what can we do? What can we do? Sometimes we can just feel like we are helpless. And if care is not taken, hopeless too. That's the danger. If care is not taken, you feel like you are hopeless. Consider for a moment this metaphor. You're flying an airplane, for those who fly always. It becomes cloudy and misty once the airplane is taken off. So you can barely see anything. because it's cloudy. And at that point, turbulence usually shakes the airplane, and the ride is somewhat scary by the time you're taking off. But as soon as the airplane soars or rises up and breaks through the clouds, it becomes sunny. And it's quiet and peaceful. So no one is afraid anymore once you get to that level of stability. Because you know you can look out and even see the clouds from where you are. And that was the cloud that was shaking the airplane at that initial point. So you can open your windows and see the sun and see the skies and enjoy them. So the plane ride at that point becomes as smooth as a glass. So right now, the world seems to be in this cloud. We seem to be in this cloudy moment where there is turbulence, where it seems scary. But I want you to think about getting above the clouds. Getting above the clouds. When you keep your eyes looking on God and remember that God always wins. God always wins. The devil always makes big show and a lot of noise, very loud, and wants you to think that he is in control of everything. Sometimes through politics, the devil keeps making you feel hopeless and helpless. But God is quiet. God is composed. God is stealthy. Jesus is the warrior king, and he made his entry quietly into Jerusalem, into Bethlehem, like a baby in the manger. That is how he entered. And he overcame death, overcame the world in the silence of the grave, quietly, in the silence of the grave. So Jesus is still very active today in your life. Remind yourself that of that every time, that the evil leaders of today will fall into the same pit as the leaders 2,000 years ago did. So Jesus wins. That is the message. That is the hope and our source of hope. If you don't remind yourself constantly of that, you will never get beyond the clouds. Think about the great leaders. The great leaders, the crazy leaders. Attila the Hun. Think about Henry VIII. Think about Napoleon. Think about Hitler. Think about Stalin. Think about those who lived at those times as well, right? People lived at those times, and yet they made it. They succeeded. I know an elderly woman I visit here in Glenburnie. I visit her. She is from Germany, and she's about 93, 94 now. She keeps telling me the story of how she received the Holy Communion at the basement of her house, because the Holy Communion was kind of smuggled to her. So she was excited, and she keeps telling me with excitement how she recalls that first moment she received the Holy Communion, because the time of Hitler couldn't even let people to express their faith, couldn't let people to practice. People lived at those moments, and they made it through. In Africa, the Mobutu Sese Sekos, the Idi Amin of Uganda, the Sani Abacha of Nigeria, the Muammar Gaddafis. People lived at those times. So it's impossible to think that God is not in control. And that is my message to you today, the message of hope. The Lord is at the gates. And what do we think about? How can we make his path straight? How can you make God's path straight? Just keep your eyes on the good. Do not become sleepy. Don't be sidetracked by the evil powers. Do not focus on the sinning around you, on bad examples. Focus on Christ and pray to remain close to him. Stay in the state of grace. And if you sin, please rise up and go to confession. One thing that the devil does that is his tactic is to beat you down into thinking you are the worst person. The devil can make you think, oh, I committed this sin, therefore I'm not good to come back again. That is a tactic. Rise up and walk. Go back to confession. Go back to the sacraments and take your power. That is God's strength for you. So, my dear friends, Advent is all about the message of hope. And for this week, I'm going to give you another scripture passage. Last week, I asked you to read Romans chapter 13, from verse 11 to 13. If you read it, definitely you would have got some message. But this week, I want you to read Psalm 93. Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. May the Lord give us the grace to wear the splendor of glory. Amen.